The following message is from New Life Gillette series, Cap Your Comfort. This week, Pastor Mike presents part three of this series.
We are in week three of a teaching series called Cap Your Comfort. We're talking about how comfort zones are often very unhealthy places to be, and they especially do not help us to become who we were created to be. And today we're going to talk about how our comfort zones actually often have a tendency to drag us down. Let me lead you through some steps that will help you to figure out what your comfort zone looks like. And the things that are comfortable to you are the things that make you feel good. This is how you know what's comfortable to you, if it makes you feel good. In other words, you are comfortable when your desires are being met. This is your comfort zone. The problem is that, as we will learn later today, your desires usually lead you to unhealthy things. If you allow your desires to lead, because we're talking here about desires being met, if you allow them to lead, usually you will end up in an unhealthy place. Your body or your flesh has desires. It makes you want things. And those wants, those desires, are what usually motivate us to do things. The problem is that the pursuit of desires can lead us to unhealthy extremes. It's okay to want cake. It's not okay to eat a whole cake. It's okay to want sex. It's not okay to have sex with every woman that you see. It's okay to want an iPhone. It's not okay to buy every single new iPhone that comes out every single month. Because the path to trouble is paved with emotional appeal. Oh, that looks cool. That looks nice. Oh, I'd really like to have that. Our biggest regrets in life are things that were appealing. In fact, they were so appealing that we ignored wisdom and we chased after them. We ignored advice from others. We ignored our conscience and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and we went after them. That's why strong emotional appeal should be a yellow light, not a green light. When we come in contact with strong emotional appeal, we should hesitate for a moment, not dive in. We should ask ourselves, why is this thing so appealing to us? What does this appeal tell me about what I desire? And where would this appeal take me if I took it to its extreme? Okay, so this has all kind of been an introduction to try to figure out what our comfort zones are. And let me summarize it by saying this. You are comfortable when your desires are being met. It's just a statement of fact. It's not a good thing, bad thing. It's just a statement. But the appeal of always having your desires met will lead you to regret. If you always are getting what you want, you will end up in a place that you don't want to be. In other words, comfort leads to regret. So ask yourself, do some self-reflection. What was appealing in your past that you now regret? I think we can help all of us answer this question by narrowing the answer to those questions down to four categories. What was appealing that you went after that you now regret? It was probably either something that you purchased or a lease or an investment that you made, some kind of money or something that you spent or you gave. But now you want to get rid of that thing that you sacrificed for, that you gave something for. So you're trying to sell it or get out from under it, because now it's not something that you want. Now it's something that is a source of pain because you recognized what you gave up to get this thing. Even though it was appealing when you bought it, now it's a source of pain. Or maybe it was something that you put in your body Maybe you ate it. It's really appealing. Then you regretted it. Maybe you drank it. You couldn't quit drinking it. And you liked the way it made you feel at first. But then at some point, you just had to keep drinking it so that you didn't go to another feeling that you didn't like. Maybe it was something that you smoked or injected. It was appealing. But now you can't stop. You can't stop eating it. You can't stop drinking it or putting it in your body. And it's bringing you down. Or was it a relationship? It was so appealing that you dated it. It was so appealing that you slept with it. You even moved in with it. Or God forbid, you married it. Now you realize that it's a bad relationship and that it was actually appealing for the wrong reasons, that you got into it for the wrong motivations, and now you want out. Or what is it? A location. You quit your job and you moved to Kathmandu because it looked so pretty. Now you need money. You sold your house to buy an RV because that sounded fun. Now you need a place to store your rollerblades. So how do we avoid these regrets? Well, as always, luckily, Paul tells us something that can help us. Paul wrote to the Galatians, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters." If your version of Christianity makes you think about condemnation often, if it leads you to fear more than it leads you to love and to hope, if it leads you to fear more than freedom, then you have the wrong version of Christianity. Because this is the faith we have. This is a faith of freedom. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. So you got freedom, but how are you going to use it? Don't do everything that comes naturally. That's your sinful nature. That's your flesh. That's your body telling you you should. And some of those desires are good, but some of those desires are bad. But even the good desires, even the things that you should want, become bad when they aren't controlled. When you don't use your freedom to control your desires for something good. For example, food is a healthy desire. This is a good thing. It keeps us from starving. It keeps us alive. It gives us energy. But if you don't control this good desire, it will lead you to a very unhealthy place. Our sinful nature tries to take our healthy desires and make them unhealthy. Another healthy desire, sex. This is a good desire. It keeps us making babies. It keeps us connected to our spouse in an intimate way that we shouldn't be connected to other people. It separates that relationship and elevates that relationship. But if we don't control this good desire, this one will control us. We can't let it run rampant. Another healthy desire, achievement. It's why the world is a better place today than it's ever been before. This is why we have so much of what we have, how we've advanced to the point that we have. But sin turns it into pride. Achievement is good, but if it's let to go too far, then it becomes dominance. It becomes workaholism. It even causes anxiety when a person is worried about what people will think about them or who they're comparing themselves to other people. Am I achieving more than they are? What's my level of achievement compared to my goals? And it can lead us to a very unhealthy place. Another healthy desire is rest. We need rest. God didn't create our bodies in such a way that we could just go forever and never rest. He made us so that we need rest. In fact, He made us so that we need to rest a third of our lives. We need to spend a third of our lives sleeping. But He knew that if life never stopped, it would become unhealthy. But if let to run wild, rest turns into sloth. Rest turns into laziness. And that's a sin. Then there's defense. We have a natural defense mechanism that makes us run from danger. But if you take it to its extreme, it causes people to use drugs and alcohol to escape reality. This desire for defense and this desire to escape pain causes us to try to numb ourselves. It causes us also to retreat rather than face a challenge that needs to be faced. To go into offense instead of just living in defense. A healthy desire is freedom. We were created to be free. But how do we use that freedom? Here's the problem. If we let our sinful nature turn what God intended for good into something harmful, those actions will cause us to lose our freedom. How are you using your freedom? If you use your freedom wrong, you will lose it. So Paul continues on in verse 13, and he says, instead, use your freedom how? To serve. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. So much of the New Testament is just this statement over and over and over again. You read the words of Jesus, this is what you end up reading. Oh, in different ways, in different stories, using different metaphors, over and over and over again, we get this message, to serve one another in love. This is what it all comes down to. So instead of leveraging your freedom for your own comfort, for your own gain, which ultimately leads to losing your freedom, if you take any one of these healthy desires to its unhealthy conclusion, it will eventually lead you to losing your freedom. So we should leverage our freedom for the benefit of others. And if you do that, this is the crazy part, I promise you, you will be happy. If you want to live a satisfying life, don't spend it trying to fulfill your own desires. If you want to live a truly satisfying life, spend it trying to serve others, to fulfill other people's desires. Verse 14 says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Because we have these natural good desires. And our love for ourselves causes us to fulfill those desires. If we hated ourselves, we would quit doing those things that are natural to punish ourselves. But we don't. We feed ourselves. That happens because we love ourselves naturally. And it took multiple books for God to describe an exact system in which the Jewish people in the Old Testament should work this out. Love your neighbor as yourself. He made law after law after law. And if you've read Deuteronomy lately, it took a long time for them to figure out how that they were going to love one another, treat each other fairly. So it took a lot to write down that law. The new law is much more simple. The whole law can be summed up in this statement, love your neighbor as yourself. The old law was written in multiple books. The new law is written on a sticky note. And that's freedom bringing. That's liberating. We are free. And if you want to be happy, we should use that freedom to fulfill this law, to love. Verse 15, but if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. That leads to pain. Beware of destroying one another. Taking advantage of people may seem like a way to get ahead. It may seem like a way to achieve happiness, but it will only lead to pain. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. If you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, then those natural good desires will not take you to an unhealthy place. And this is so cool. It's contrasting, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you and allowing your sinful nature to guide you. And we can follow the intentional nudgings of the Holy Spirit. And we can reject the cravings of the sinful nature to take those good desires too far. Verse 17 says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Jesus makes our lives better, and He makes us better at life. This seems counterintuitive. God created us so that we don't want to do what we should do. It's because of sin. God gave us free will, and the combination of our free will and our sinful nature, the combination of our desire to take things too far and our freedom causes this. In other words, want to and should do are often opposites. What we want to do and what we should do are often opposites. And you may doubt this, but if this wasn't true, Jenny Craig would not be a thing. If this wasn't true, there wouldn't be dessert menus at restaurants. We would just kind of stop where we should. Verse 17 says, and the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So cap your comfort. Don't always do what comes naturally. If you want to be happy, do hard things. If you want to be happy, serve people, not yourselves. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. When Adam and Eve sinned, something broke. Something in our world broke. And as a result of sin, we will spend our whole lives fighting against what comes naturally. Fighting against what our flesh, our sinful desire tells us that we should be doing. But when you are directed by the Spirit, again, we're contrasting the sinful desire to take things too far, to do things we shouldn't do, and what the Spirit wants us to do. You are not under obligation. This is the opposite of freedom. You are not under obligation to the law of Moses. And I'm not sure why this is controversial to Christians, but for some reason, we have attached ourselves to what we are now no longer under obligation to, the law of Moses. We have a desire to go back and still claim it, still abide by, well, certain parts of it. We don't like certain parts of it. We like other parts of it, so we kind of pick and choose what we want to apply. But the old covenant was replaced. And that's not me saying that. That's the new law saying that. We now have one law. Our one law is to love. And you can't love if you go along with your natural desires. Your nature will want you to take from other people, not to give to others. Your nature will want you to take healthy desires and make them unhealthy desires. So verse 19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. This is what happens when you follow your desires. Sexual immorality. So sex is good. Taking it too far isn't. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. And you can summarize this whole list by saying, the sinful nature leads to selfishness. Doing things to satisfy selfish desires. Selfishness, that is your sinful nature. But the Holy Spirit is nudging us away from selfishness and over to selflessness. Verse 21, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. What is your freedom leading you to? Is it leading you toward the kingdom of God or away from the kingdom of God? And if you are allowing your life to consume the selfish desires, to pursue those things which make us feel like we will achieve what we want to achieve in this life, selfishness, those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a scary passage. And for a long time, we've been taught that this means that we won't go to heaven. If you don't do these things, you won't get into heaven. Simplify the passage and just say that. And although it's true that sin keeps us out of heaven, that's not the whole story. Because what did God do about sin? What changed us from the old covenant to the new covenant? What turned the page of history? The event by which we keep all time. This is the year 2019 because of an event. What was that event? Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross to change the situation. So what we know what God does when we go, when we allow our sinful nature to do things we know we shouldn't do. God forgives us for those sins. God will forgive you for sin, for selfishness. He died on the cross to do this. This is why he did it. So did he do it for no reason? Is it not able to be accomplished? So what I think this passage is actually talking about is much bigger than will we get into heaven or not. This is not the kingdom of God that he's talking about, that Jesus described time and time again. When Jesus described the kingdom of God, it was usually a description of what God is doing here in this world. How God is creating us to become who we were created to be. God is helping to mold us into who he created us to be. What is God doing in this world? So I think inheriting the kingdom looks much more like some comparing and contrasting. Inheriting the kingdom of God is more about hopefulness and getting away from hopelessness. Inheriting the kingdom of God means that we have meaningfulness and not meaninglessness. Inheriting the kingdom of God means that we are satisfied in life, not unsatisfied. Inheriting the kingdom of God means that we have lasting joy that goes beyond our circumstances, not temporary happiness. Inheriting the kingdom of God is the difference between community, authentic, loving, caring community, and loneliness. Inheriting the kingdom of God is the difference between I have and I want. Because you follow the desires of your flesh and all you will ever feel is want. It's not going to ever make you feel like you achieved anything. There's never a landing point here. It's just, I want. Okay, I got that. Now I want more. Now I want more. If you ever want to feel fulfilled in life, if you want to feel like you have something worth having, you want the kingdom of God. Inheriting the kingdom of God is the difference between peace and hope and fear, and on and on and on. This is the difference between a life in the kingdom of God and a life outside the kingdom of God. So if selfishness keeps us from these things that we want, what actually gives us the things that we want? The Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit produce in us? Landing on the fruit of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit produces instead of going after the flesh. We go after what the Holy Spirit pushes us toward, and the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It produces love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So when we cap our comfort, we don't pursue the desires of our flesh, and we pursue the desires of the Spirit, these are the things we get. And that's just so much better. This is just a better life. People who are single in the room, is this not the type of person that you want to marry? If this is the person you want to marry, well, first of all, you should become this person. Because if you meet this person, if you're not this person, they're not going to want to marry you. Yes, this is who we all want to be. So isn't this who we should all pursue, the Holy Spirit? And the cool part is that there is no law against these things. Why? Because you don't need to build up boundaries to keep yourself away from these things. This is so exciting. In other words, that's real freedom. We don't need laws here. Using your freedom for selfishness is a cheap substitute for real freedom. And it doesn't produce these things. It produces pain. It produces regret. It produces fear. Have you ever noticed that nobody ever says, "Hey, you're too peaceful. Would you just stop being so peaceful? You can't take the fruit of the Spirit too far. You can just keep doing it. You can just keep pursuing it. Let's tone down the peace." No one ever complained because their husband is just too faithful. It's so frustrating. He always goes away on these business trips and I never have to worry about if he's cheating me or not. Ugh. It's just so annoying. Or parents. No parent ever got frustrated that their kids were just too kind. This kindness stuff is just overwhelming. Kids, why don't you ever fight? You don't have to set up boundaries around the fruit of the Spirit. That's real freedom. You can't even take them to their unhealthy extremes if you try to, because they come directly from God. And everything that comes from God is good. Everything that comes from God is ultimately satisfying. Not the desires of the flesh, but the desires of the Spirit. So leave your comfort zone and pursue. Not the desires of the flesh, but the desires of the Spirit. And when that happens, you will find true satisfaction.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and He died to give you new life.